Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Playing with Squirrels, a Boy Meets World fan cast, but it is a fun cast.
That's negotiable, I guess.
I am joined for episode 7. This is Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. It was released on this date, which would be November 12th, 2017. It was released in 1993, but
it's not. The date that's coming out. I was like, not November 12th.
No. Right? The date that the episode came out. And I'm joined by probably the person I've lived with second only to family the most, Jeff Shropshire, who was definitely one of the people that was a must get on this show from the second I came up with the idea for it. You'll hear him again, I guarantee, but we're going to talk about this one to the best of our abilities, because if you've gotten this far, if you've gotten 7 episodes in, I hope you guys enjoyed the 1 week break that we had. There's not a lot to talk about in these first season episodes.
Your viewers only have about like 20 more episodes before it gets the good stuff.
Even less, man. First season short. 22 episodes. We're 7 deep already. They've got 15 more to go.
I mean, we could just state facts. The date that it got aired, it's got, I think, a 7.8 on IMDb.
Well, no. So I have a couple notes. There's a few things noteworthy, because there's two celebrity appearances in this. One who was a celebrity at the time, and one who would become a celebrity later. And the one who became a celebrity later has a very important element to our friendship. So I actually like that this is the episode we're talking about. So the premise of this episode is that Corey is going to go fishing with Sean and his dad. And then Sean's dad's mom shows up and is like, cancel
Not
your
Sean's
plans.
Dad.
Or sorry, Corey's grandma. Corey's grandmother shows up and is like, cancel your plans for Sunday, Corey, which was the fishing trip. I'm going to take you to get this Cal Ripken rookie card signed. So then grandma doesn't show up to take him to get the Cal Ripken card signed, but it's too late as Corey's dad has already left with Sean for the day. Meanwhile, Eric begins to hit on Mr. Feeney's niece, who is played by Kerry Russell, which we're going to get into a little bit more later. Now, Grandma is played by one of the Golden Girls.
Yes.
Which, the second she walks in the door is just this, the crowd goes fucking gangbusters when she walks in. And she's never seen again, as far as I cannot recall. I don't even think that an actress replaced her. I literally do not believe that Corey's grandmother appears ever again in the entire series.
Yeah, Rue McClanahan.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I find hilarious because the whole premise of the show is this is your grandma and she's kind of aloof, but she'll make it up to you and you're like, oh man, we'll get a payoff later off. And no payoff.
She never comes back. The payoff is Corey realizing how expensive the rookie card is through Sean during the credits.
Yeah, that's not really a great payoff. So these early episodes are kind of weird because it's every episode feels every episode of Boy Meets World is pretty much Corey learns a life lesson, which is every episode of every TGIF show, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's more apparent in Boy Meets World because we're step by step, there was 6 kids there.
Yeah.
They could just change who learns a life lesson. But
yeah. It was Boy always World, the same person.
It's Corey every week. And, most of the time in these early episodes, Eric is, this pivotal secondary plot device that, re-points to that life lesson, but not this time.
No. This episode, Eric's storyline has zero to do with anything that's going on, except for the fact that Grandma takes him to get his arm signed by the Lamborghini girl.
Yeah. I forget her name.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like Gazelle something.
No, it's not Gazelle. I'll think of it in this. But you do get to see a little bit of Eric's comedic timing when he lifts up the fertilizer and then.
Oh, that's the only line I wrote. Let me just effortlessly toss this over here now.
So you get that. Eric's storylines, even though they like always feed back to Corey during this like first season, they're always these like flavor of the week girl.
Never in the later seasons, Eric, as much as he becomes like a dumber and dumber character, he also becomes this character who recognizes Corey's inherent goodness and is always there to like be the good brother in the time of need to like guide him back to never losing focus on Corey. And that's also weird because in this first season, the whole first season, Corey's kind of a dick. And it's not until like later seasons where he really becomes that, like, he is the character with the strongest moral compass, and the only times he gets in trouble is because he's doing good by a friend. The other thing that I want to call out in this is I just love, I'm sure it's been around for years, but the La Cucaracha horn honk always will get a smile on my face.
That's the thing I thought of. Like, I was like, I want to be in the writer's room of season one of Boy Meets World, because it's like, oh man, we need a subplot for Eric. He gets a girlfriend. Grandma comes. How are we going to announce it? Yo, guys, this is groundbreaking. She plays La Cucaracha on the car horn. Oh my God, it's never been done before.
I'm pretty sure even the Simpsons episode where Homer designed a car that played La Cucaracha was before this episode of Boy Meets World. I'll have to check the dates, but I feel like Simpsons did it first.
I don't know what season of Simpsons that is.
But the person that I want to talk about, the person who, when I was watching this episode, because I was like, man, there's like nothing for us to talk about related to this particular episode. It's a very forgettable, lackluster episode. There's maybe one comedic moment. There's no real drama tied to it. It's a very disappointing episode. But
I wouldn't say there's one comedic moment. There's like one comedic scene.
Yeah.
It's where Eric shows up because Mr. Feeny has a good couple lines in there too. Because it's always good to see Mr. Feeny outside the classroom.
That's true. Okay. So that scene is like the only really successfully comedic moment. And none of the drama really works in this particular episode. But Kerry Russell. We're going to go on a complete tangent this episode to talk about what I think of when I see Kerry Russell, and that is the movie that I consider one of the films that caused us to become friends 8 days a week, and why it's a masterpiece, and why the people listening to Playing with Squirrels should check out the movie 8 days a week, because it's a good chance that they've never seen it.
I mean, you should just watch the trilogy, which isn't really a trilogy, but it's
just the same movie three times.
It's the same movie three times. You watch 8 days a week, you follow it with 100 girls, and then you follow it with 100 women, a.k.a. Girl Fever. One of them's called Girl Fever.
Girl Fever is 100 women, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to watch Monster Man, but you should probably check out Shoot 'Em Up, because that one was also pretty fun, and then he never made a movie again.
No, he just left.
He teaches film now
I guess
in
they
New York.
Like, I guess somebody in Hollywood was like, wait a second, this guy's making the same movie. Because if you watch 100 girls and 100 women, he is literally making the same exact
It's
movie.
Almost the same plot. Like, it's so 8 days a week, I don't know how I heard of the movie through you, because I was hanging out at your basement early on in our friendship, and you had gotten super excited because they had just announced that it was coming out on DVD. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. I don't understand why you're so excited. And you're like, dude, 8 days, it's coming out on DVD. Like, and you kept talking about it. You're like, it's the 100 Girls guy. And I'm like, what the fuck's 100 Girls? And then you sat me down and forced me to watch 100 Girls. And then we drove to Best Buy and purchased 8 days a week and then watched that immediately afterwards. And both of those are like among my favorite films of all time now.
Oh, they're so good.
But 8 days a week, the premise actually could make that movie with the cast of Boy Meets World and it would go pretty smoothly, actually.
So I guess Corey would be
the kid hanging out
the
outside.
Lovelorn, kid. And then his friend who humps watermelons, spoiler alert, would be Sean.
And then Mr. Feeny could be his grandpa who pees into the flowers to help him get the girl. And then Kerry Russell's Topanga.
Yeah.
But it's the premise is that a guy has been in love with his next door neighbor for years, and his grandfather convinces him that if he stays outside of her window day and night as a proclamation of his love, she will eventually fall in love with him as well. But what the movie's really more about, to me, like, that's definitely the driving force, but it's more about how bizarre the suburbs are, as he's forced to like see all of the things that happened around him throughout an entire summer, and like finding the weird neighbors and all the weird things that happened that he may not have noticed prior when he was just kind of living his normal life.
Yes. I was shaking my head, and then I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, these people can't hear me shaking my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's relatively what it's pretty much about. Yeah. And a lot
but
of,
Carrie Russell's the love. It's one of her first films, and she's the love interest.
And then, like, so it's the weirdness of suburbia, and then there's also a lot of, like, the pop culture, not like references, but discussions, which he does a whole lot of.
Oh, yeah, because they talk about James, but who's the best James Bond, and there's some and then, Star Trek talk, I think.
And then, like, these really weird, like, discussions of, like, what a man is, because he talks about his dad, like, running after the ice cream truck in his underwear. And, like, but, like, in 100 Girls, like, that main character also talks about, like, learning how to become a man from his father, who like kind of failed him as becoming a man.
And that's also 100. Yeah, all three of these films, the writer of these movies, Mike Davis, I feel like has at least maybe not daddy issues, but definitely was disappointed at the man that his dad was.
He also super liked hiring the guy that plays the boyfriend, because he plays the boyfriend in 8 Days a Week and 100 Girls, and I've never seen him in anything else. He is not a good actor. He's just like, we need a machismo man. I know this kid from down the street. We'll hire him.
So there's something else I need to mention. This was brought up very briefly on, I want to say episode 4? Yes, episode 4 with Tommy Avalone. I just purchased something on DVD that you're going to be super excited about. I bought the Trojan War on DVD.
What? That came out on DVD?
You can buy it through that Warner Brothers archive thing where they just burn you like a professional DVD of the movie when you order it. It was like $10. It was worth every dollar.
Oh, that's so good.
That movie is amazing. And you heard us mention it on episode 4, but you should absolutely check out the Trojan War starring Will Friedle and Jennifer Love Hewitt. It is actually a ton of fun. And then someone else, who's his friends? It's Hyde from that 70s show, right? I can never tell him and his brother apart. It's either Hyde from that 70s show or the brother from Malcolm in the Middle, but they're from the same gene pool. And his other best friend in that.
I'm trying to think of who his love interest is, because she's like relatively Marley Shelton. But what was she? She was in Pleasantville,
yeah. Five main
Danny people, Masters.
Yeah, and who's the other friend? Scroll over, because there's probably one other. His other friend is moderately
Jason
famous.
Marsden?
Yeah, it's his friend. It's his real life friend in Boy Meets World, and he was on Step by Step.
Also,
for a bit.
Lee Majors is in it.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah, it's a great movie. You should absolutely see it.
For a second, I thought you were going to say that you bought Ghost Rider, because I was thinking about that today. Like that TV show from 1992?
I think your board game is still in the closet. Oh, okay. We're currently recording at the house that Jeff and I used to live at. It was my aunt's old house. My parents are refurbishing it to sell. And I need to take the picture of Juan down eventually. We're sitting in a like half complete basement doing this episode. Guys, I know that sometimes you come in for the Boy Meets World discussions, and this one's going to disappoint you, because, again, there is nothing to talk about with Grandma Was a Rolling Stone. But stick to these episodes. I've been hearing back from a bunch of you that you love the show, and I appreciate that to no end. And I promise you that come season 2, you will be getting really good episodes. But just bear through the next 15, and it's the sky's the limit after that.
Did you know that Julia Stiles was on 6 episodes of Ghost Rider. So, side note, I was thinking about Ghost Rider because I was like, oh, this episode of Boy Meets World came out in 93. I was like, what year did Ghost Rider come out? And it was 1992.
Yeah.
But then I thought about, like, when I was in elementary school, I was super into Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And I was in love with, like, I think there was, like, a little Asian girl that was on Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And, like, I was convinced that the girl across that, like, hit the bus across the street from where I took the bus. Everybody said that was the girl from Ghost Rider. And I was driving over here, and I was like, I wonder if, like, 9-year-old me was just super racist and couldn't tell that, like, was, like, thinking that, like, all little Asian girls look exactly the like. And I was just convinced that it was a girl, and she probably was not the girl probably did not look anything like
I've
the girl.
I've told people that you went to school with that girl because you told me it was so much sincerity.
No, she took the bus across the street.
Oh. Did you ever look it up and find out?
No, I don't know what her name is.
I'm sure it would at least say where she grew up if she did anything after that.
I mean, half these people don't have pictures on IMDb. How am I supposed to figure this out?
So, Jeff, I'll ask you the question that I ask everybody when they're their first time on the show, and it's the one thing that you're guaranteed to get Boy Meets World discussion on a Boy Meets World podcast is, what is your experiences with Boy Meets World? Like, when did you... What are your memories of watching it? Is there a reason why this show over a lot of the other shows of your childhood is something that's stuck with you and that you've rewatched as often as you have?
All right, well, and side note, she went to Penn State, so I'm assuming that she did grow up in Pennsylvania. Because I'm assuming that it's this person named Tram Tran. So how did I get it? I mean, the show came out in 1993. I was 10 years old. That's primetime TGIF.
Yeah.
So I pretty much, like, I guess, what? How old would Corey and Sean been this episode?
They would have been in sixth grade, so that's about right. Maybe a year older than you at the
most. I think I would have been in, like, fourth or fifth grade. So pretty much, like, our ages crossed over. And so all the while, I, like, grew up as they grew up. So that's pretty much the main reason you would keep watching it. And then for me, like, every time I saw it, like, I just related a lot to it. And I feel like every time he learned a life lesson, I was like, man, that has to do so much with my life. And it probably did not. But at the same time, like, all right, I was his age. I had, like, one really close friend. Like, and I was thinking about that driving over. Like, when I go back and I rewatch it, I'm like, man, this is so unrealistic. Corey would have more than one friend. And I was like, no, growing up, I pretty much had, like, one close friend that I hung out with every day.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
When they're in school in the first season, there's, like, one or two other kids that are, like, sit at his cafeteria table. But he only really hangs out with Sean, like, 90% of the time.
So, yeah, I grew up at the same time. I had an older brother who was 3 years older than me, just like Corey and Eric. We live in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, like, that's completely relatable. Even though I call bullshit on the fact that that is not Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I work in Philly. I live outside of Philly. That doesn't even look like the suburbs of Philly. That would be like, I don't know where these people are listening from, but that would be like they grew up in like Doylestown.
Yeah. I do like the random, like, it always is exciting when they're talking about something in Philadelphia. And you're like, yeah, that's there. Like when the dad was like, yeah, you know, I was supposed to go to the Franklin Institute of Science with my class. And I'm like, hey!
Yeah, so I think that always, like, pulls you back in when they make these. Because they always, constantly, especially in the earlier seasons, make reference to, like, the Phillies, the Eagles, places in Philadelphia. And you're like, hey, I know those things!
It's like right now, whenever I watch the Goldbergs, anytime that they mention anything that's tied. There was an episode of the Goldbergs when he's like, I need you to drive me to the McDade Mall. And I was like, yeah!
Said no one ever after, like, 1990. So, yeah. And then, like, I don't know. Like, when... So, I fell out of it. I watched it all growing up. And then, like, after college, there was a couple of years I probably didn't watch it. And then when I was 24, 20... Well, I was younger than 24. It's probably, like, 22 when I worked at the hoagie shop.
Yeah.
They would play it from like 3 to 4 and then from 5 to 6 and from 3 to 4 in a hoagie shop. Like you are not busy.
Yeah.
So I would just put on Disney Channel and watch that shit for an hour straight and re-fell in love with it. And it just held up.
Cause I remember that was like a go-to show when we first started living together in different houses. Like, that was always, it was like, oh, it's time for Boy Meets World. Like,
and also, I think they would replay it at like 11 to like midnight, and then they would air Bug Juice. And me and Eric would always watch that. Preteen melodrama is the best melodrama.
So, do you still think that, I mean, obviously this was not a good example of the show, but do you still find that... I find that it weirdly still holds up as a show in general. Not really the first season, but the later seasons hold up really well still.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't really have as many, like, parallels to my life now, like, in hindsight. Like, I, spoiler alert, I did not meet the love of my life in fifth grade.
No.
I've had, I have a friend who pretty much did. I mean, Anthony, for the most part, met the love of his life in high school. And I guess everybody kind of knows that one person that, like,
they had. Met that girl. And it was, but it's so rare.
Yeah. But there's, like, there's still those episodes that, like, have resonance. Like, you, I'm not a looker. But, like, the episode, like, where Corey had to choose between Topanga and Mountain Girl.
That's a tough episode.
Yeah. Like, that had some parallels to my life when I, at one point, had two women that were attracted to me, surprisingly.
Yeah. You had to,
one time in my life.
You had to do a coin toss.
Yeah. That's how I make all my decisions.
And I guess the last question for you is, do you have a end-all, be-all favorite Boy Meets World moment?
It's underpants. I made a t-shirt based on it.
Speaking of that, is there anywhere that people can go to find t-shirt designs that you do? I mean, you work at a paint store, but on the side you do t-shirt designs, which is pretty cool and notable. It's not something that everybody's doing. Where can people find most of your t-shirt designs?
They're on Redbubble under Dork Since 83. Sometimes I'll print it like Ripped or T-Fury or the Yeti, but since I got a new computer, I haven't gotten the design program back. So I haven't made any new ones in a while.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. I'm sure you'll be back in later seasons.
Yeah, hopefully I'll talk about something better than Grandma Got Run Was a Rolling Stone.
Grandma Got Ran Over by a Stone.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back. I think there is another episode next week. We're hitting the point now where we've got 15 more episodes, but they stretch out over about 7 months. So episodes are going to be really sporadic, but they will come out on the day that the episode aired, as promised.
I didn't have anything else to do because Grandma didn't show up.
I've been there.
Wait a minute, she did this to you?
Hey, pick a category. You like sports? Birthdays? You like rocket ships?
I'll take rocket ships.
All right, one day, my class was supposed to go on this field trip to the Franklin Museum of Science, see the Man in Space exhibit.
Cool.
Yeah, it would have been. Except that Grandma forgot to return the permission slip, so I didn't get to go.
I've been there.
Yeah, me too, and I felt just the way you're feeling now.
Did you hate her?
Well, no, it's kind of hard to hate her, Corey, you know, because a couple of months later, she woke me up in the middle of the night. She bundles me up. She throws me in the Winnebago. We drive for 2 days and two nights.
Where'd she take you?
Cape Canaveral. Mercury 3, first American in space. My classmates are back in Philadelphia looking at a little black and white TV. You know, I'm there feeling the heat from the rocket on my face.
Grandma took you all the way to Cape Canaveral?
See, Grandma doesn't show love like other people do, but she loves you no matter what you think. She just shows love in her own way. And when she's with you, she wants it to be so special that you'll always remember.
I always do remember.
Yeah, so do I. When that rocket took off and the smile on my face was a mile wide, and all America was watching their little TV set, I remember that my mother was watching me.